Welcome to 5.0, Fivefold and Beyond with Matt
and Amy.
In the 5.0 podcast, we're going to peel back the layers of the Ephesians 4 model, revealing a thriving church, ministry, or organization. This will help leaders to identify, work together, and implement or raise up the believers who want to move in their calling. Watch those who are in your care, and they become alive with a fresh passion as the anointings on their life are revealed, encouraged, and released.
We also offer seminars, conferences, and strategic advising to pastors and leaders. We'll sit down with you and help you to learn how to have a fivefold influenced church or organization. Also, how to identify and integrate people with fivefold giftings into your teams and into your organization. So connect with us at ihimtv.com. That's ihimtv.com.
So get ready to engage as these podcasts will open an understanding, remove confusion of the fivefold, and open your eyes and heart to what you and those around you carry. Today's broadcast, welcome, is prophetic DNA. That's what we're going to talk about here today. That's where we're going to talk about the gifts and all that type of thing. And so it's going to be pretty cool. We want you to stay with us. We're going to describe some gifts and some ministry outflows in the prophetic realm, how you can identify that in yourself to see if you have parts of that. Now, remember, being filled with the Holy Spirit, it activates gifts in us. And we're going to come back to that a little bit, but we cannot do any of this stuff without the baptism of the Holy Spirit because we need that God infusion in us. And so I'm going to start with Romans chapter 12, verse 6. And it says this in the New American Standard, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. And then it goes on with mentioning some other gifts. So this that we're talking about right now, Amy, it is not just a Pentecostal thing. It's a God thing. It's a kingdom thing. It's a believer thing. It's for the now. He wants his Holy Spirit to be in our life and to activate those things that he put within us so that we can fulfill the destiny God has for us. We can be a blessing to each other, brothers and sisters in Christ, be useful in the kingdom of God, and as well to be empowered to take the gospel to the world.
So by limiting this prophetic experience, we're not talking about, we're narrowing it in a little. We're not just talking about the whole outpouring of the Holy Spirit, because that empowers all of the realms, right? The pastor, the teacher, the prophet, the evangelist, the apostle. But for the prophetic, to limit this to just a Pentecostal experience, often when we think Pentecostal, we think denomination.
Right.
A Pentecostal denomination. That's really doing a disservice to the church because this is for everybody. And yes, it does require the Holy Spirit. You often see this more in Pentecostal or charismatic circles because they're open to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is why you see that. But any believer should be open to the Spirit of God and filling them with gifts and whatever theirs might be. It may be in the prophetic realm. It may be in one of the others. Go back and listen to the other podcasts as well that talk about the other realms and kind of that will help you see where you fit in and what God's pouring out into your life. But today we want to focus on the prophetic and the DNA. In other words, what are the strands that make this up? Because we think prophet. But, you know, I have seen, Matt, we've encountered people who've felt prophetic flow in their lives. And because the only thing that they thought, well, if this is happening to me, then I must be a prophet. Or someone's, you know, some well-meaning person has said, oh, you must be a prophet, brother. You must be a prophet, sister. And so they try to shove themselves into a mold that wasn't them. They knew there was prophetic stuff there, but it may or may not be prophet. There's some other things, too, that might bring some clarity for you as we talk about this.
And that's why the fivefold is so dear to our heart. It's our flagship message, really. And we have many other things and trainings and leadership and all that. But the 5.0 is so important because we've seen many shipwrecks along the way. We have seen many immature who never had the opportunity maybe or the willingness to grow up, to be trained, to mature. And so, you know, in our past, we've trained prophets. I train prophets, upgrade prophets, restored prophets, or prophetic people. We unlock gifts in people. We help bring an understanding what the Holy Spirit's doing in them, just with our piece of the puzzle. The Holy Spirit has to reveal everything to them, and people get a new sense of purpose, and they get excited at first when you, as with anything young, whether it's the fivefold, whether it's an office as a prophet, or it's the gifts, DNA makeup of that realm, we get excited because God's using us. And we start off, it's all about us being used, and we're just so happy about that. But I want you to understand that as we mature, it's really not, our joy is seeing the impact upon someone else's life as they taste success, as they have a victory in their life, as they grow. And then that's where we get the fulfillment of obeying God and operating in our gifts or our callings.
Yes, because we understand that when you can grasp when you can grasp where you are, what God has put in your life, the call, the gifts, then there's that confidence of being able to flow out of that place. There's that settling, not a bad settling, but a good fit. It's like you fit and you can really be who God created you to be. And there's a wonderful feeling in that. So, you know, Matt, you understand this leg or this realm really well because you are apostle prophet and God has put that anointing and call in your life. And it's not presumptuous to say that. It's just understanding because that's not your title. You're not nope. Prophet Matt or Apostle Matt. You no, are.
That's my mantle.
That's your mantle. That's yeah. your calling. So you can operate from that. I understand that I'm not prophet. I can be prophetic. And we're going to talk about some of the different levels. Mm-hmm. That's a gift for me, but it's not the call on my life. And so when we understand that, it's just much easier to operate. And there's less of that, you know, friction that maybe you're encountering because you're trying to fit into something that you're not. But let's look specifically. You know, I'm sure we'll break down some of that stuff in some other episodes, but specifically what makes up, what do you see in the prophetic realm? The first thing that we see are utterance gifts. You might have been in a church service and you've seen people prophesy, like give a word of prophecy. They're thus saith the Lord. This is, in other words, this is what God is saying or what I perceive God is saying at this moment. Also, some other utterance gifts would be like a message that's given in tongues, the gift of tongues, an unknown language, and interpretation should accompany that if it's a word that's presented to the body. Tongues and interpretation kind of are equivalent to prophecy. You're still hearing a word from God. It just comes across in a different way. Other things like exhortation, that again is a now word. This is what God wants to encourage you with right now. Singing a new song. You see it's through prophetic worship, and sometimes the musicians or the leader might start to sing words that aren't up on the screen. And you're like, where is he going?
My. Oh, no.
What's happening? He's singing a new song. Or she's singing a new song. We have a male worship leader in our church, so I'm saying he, but a lot of anointed women ones too. Or maybe they're singing in a language that you don't understand. They're singing in tongues and just worshiping the Lord. That's a prophetic flow. Also prophetic teaching and preaching. How is that different from regular preaching and teaching?
Right. I find when I come under that anointing of that, like it just comes on you that you're touching a now thing in such a way that sometimes you're preaching beyond the walls. So you have the congregation in front of you. You know you're ministering there. But you know somehow it's being released in the spirit further out. Maybe principalities and rulers, I don't know. But it definitely goes beyond the building. You know that, man, this is like an intervention that is a little different. Not that you weren't preaching in the spirit before, but in this prophetic teaching, it's like God is putting his finger and says, no, you can't move on. You have to deliver this. And he just gives you a message and you just begin to preach it instead of prophesying it in that way. It's still words, but it's the same It's the same function, the same flow.
You're tapping into that flow of the Spirit, correct, into the heart of God. Now, you know, to prepare not
and everybody
to,
knows it too, because all of a sudden the atmosphere shifts like, whoa.
Right. So here's the question, to prepare or not to prepare. I believe every minister of the gospel, if you're going to get up behind that pulpit, you need to prepare. Mm-hmm. You need, but I believe that prophetic teaching or preaching can be prepared ahead of time, because as you're seeking God, it's like, God, you're not saying, oh, you know, what can I say to the people? You're approaching it by, God, what is your heart for the people this week, or this next month, or this next year? What word do you want to bring across? What concepts, what principles? And tapping into the prophetic flow even during your preparation.
I know we're getting on to this. Maybe the Holy Spirit's touching something, but in the prophetic, getting a message ready that you have to deliver on Sunday or wherever you're going to be, 85% of it is preparing the man or the woman. That's you, yourself. You're there, you're studying, you're hearing God, you're just getting ready. And really, that is 85%. The 15% is just to deliver it for your half hour or 40 minutes, whatever it is you do on Sunday. But you want God to be able to use that and to flow, obviously, in the altar and whatever. So that's why when you have been prepared properly throughout the week, that when you get up there and a prophetic preaching or teaching moment hits you, it's going to be along the lines of what's in your notes. It's what God has put in you in the Spirit when you were studying that. But it might be one word, one line, and that was it. And off you,
then take you beyond your notes.
But if you didn't get ready for that, remember, I've been in this for a long time. I've been in the ministry. I'm 53 years old, but I've been in the ministry for a long time since I was a late teenager. And I've seen a lot of stuff growing up in an apostle evangelist home. And I've seen the old school of I don't need the notes. I go up there. I throw my notes, make a big scene about it, throw my notes. I don't need it. I'm in the Spirit, brother. And here it is. And off you go. And half the time they took rabbit trails. You left. Boy, it was on fire, but you had no idea what they said. And other times it was genuine and was of the Lord. But I know ministers that you know, to be spiritual, If you got past, I have to spit to the third pew thing, to be spiritual is to throw away my notes in the front of the congregation. Mm. God changed it by the time I got to the pulpit. And I'm not denying that
Or to not prepare and just shoot from the hip while you're up there.
I had that happen to me. But man, if that's my pinnacle of being in the Spirit or prophetic, I'm in trouble. I'm just setting myself up.
That's right. Because you got to hear God before you ever get up behind that pulpit. You've got to hear God in your prayer closet.
Our utterance gifts.
And your preparation.
You know why you're spending a lot of time with that? Because utterance is your mouth, your words, and words can build or destroy. And we've all experienced, and maybe you're listening here today and you've had a sour taste with prophetic people around you or so-called prophetic people around you. And I'm just saying, there's the wackos and the weirdos, but sometimes, you know, they're just immature. People are moving in their gifts and you didn't understand it. And it was filled with half flesh, half God, and it put a sour taste in you. And now you're shutting down to any of that, all that kind of stuff. And it's a lack of understanding maybe on two parties. And that's why it's important to have accountability. And we're going to talk about things like that, but to grow in these gifts, this DNA can grow just like the pastoral, the evangelistic traits, the teacher, so can the prophetic. These things all have to grow and mature and become effective.
Yeah. And, you know, remember, it's not the gift that's growing. The gift of God is perfect. God speaks very clearly. It's the user.
Yes.
We have to become skillful with the tools, the gifts that God has given us. So really the growth is in us. Let's look at some other gifts. There's also the revelatory gifts that flow under prophetic. These are the ones we often think of when we think of prophetic, as well as the utterance.
Right.
Things like visions, mm-hmm. dreams, wisdom, knowledge, like word of wisdom, word of knowledge, special insight or discerning of spirits. All of those really flow in this realm. So you might have some of those and not necessarily be a prophet, but you flow with some of those gifts. But if you are a prophet, and I know we're going to get into the prophet next session, but if you are a prophet, you'll see that you have several of these gifts, maybe not all, but several of them.
Yeah. A DNA of something prophetic, you'll see creative gifts come to the forefront and being recognized or validated as being God. Flowing through mm-hmm. you see that in music, art, dance, writing.
Yeah, I see a lot of that's under-recognized sometimes because we think about the Thus Saith the Lord moments or the you know, I was in a trance and had this vision, but we don't think about that person who's maybe painting prophetically or, you know, leading worship or writing songs.
Correct.
Or maybe even poetry that's just a God word for people. Let me read Joel chapter 2 before we get to the next point. Joel chapter 2, verses 28 and 29 out of the NASB. And it says, "It will come about after this that I will pour out my spirit on all mankind. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on the male and female servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days." And so we know that as we come closer to the end times, is where even, you know, whether you believe we're already into the end times or it's coming soon, regardless, we know that there's going to be an increase of the outpouring of the Spirit of God, which in this particular verse, it talks about the prophetic being released. Sometimes, you know, you may not have a gift of prophecy, like being able to give a prophecy from the Lord, but have you ever felt like you get in a service and the Spirit of God is just flowing? It's like this river that flows through your midst. And all of a sudden you're like, man, I can prophesy. Well, there's what's called a spirit of prophecy that comes on a group of people. I remember one instance that sticks out strongly in my mind. We were at a family camp meeting several years ago. We were probably early on in our marriage, and Matt's father, who's an apostle and also very prophetic
for our network. Yep.
He just sat down. The Spirit of the Lord started moving and he sat down on the platform and he said, "Prophesy." And he just spoke that out. And with such like authority, not controller demanding, but there was just this spiritual authority that came with it. And all of a sudden people all over the house, they may have never prophesied in their life before, but they had the ability to prophesy. And I think probably 80% of the people in that room prophesied. And it was just amazing, like such a beautiful spirit of prophecy that came on those who are in the environment. And, you know, one thing is I do have a gift of prophecy and I can prophesy. But when I'm flowing in an altar service with you, Matt, because you are a prophet, and as you begin to flow, it's like I come in under your mantle almost. And I'm working alongside of you. And sometimes I can prophesy like over everyone at that altar. And that's not necessarily normal for me. But when I'm operating with someone who is prophet,
correct.
It's like that mantle kind of overshadows because I'm in submission to you and I flow under your covering.
Because when a true spirit of the Lord is flowing, there's unity. And so sometimes we do that when we're with elders or presbytery, we're with other ministries, other apostles and prophets or whatever, and or leaders, and we're ministering at an altar. A lot of times that combined power of the Holy Spirit begins to unlock, and that's why it gets higher heights, greater miracles are happening all of a sudden because there's this unified presence. Gifts and
yeah, like
mantles.
The mantles, yeah, that come together.
Yeah, they all knit together. Yeah. That's amazing when that happens. That's very prophetic, even though it might not have a prophet person, it's prophetic inflow, meaning the unveiling of God's heart and thoughts in a divine
in that moment.
Movement.
Yeah.
Right?
So really what we're saying is you may not have a gift of prophecy, you may not be a prophet, but always be open to the outpouring and the flowing of the Spirit, because I believe any believer who's filled with the Holy Spirit can come into these moments where the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you in a prophetic flow.
Other things in the prophetic DNA that we're looking at that you can see, and we love this because this is up our alley, this type of thing, is the prophetic teams. And you can create different teams like prophetic intercessors. They differ from prayer warriors. And a lot of times, especially in our own apostolic church center, I have done what we call apostle and intercessor partnerships where the apostle connects with these prophetic intercessors. We do trainings and releases and stuff like that, upgrades. And those are amazing things. So you got prophetic people interceding, and that's a whole other teaching for another day, but you'll see
it
that.
Is. But let me just touch just very briefly. I know we're getting toward the end of our time, but a prayer warrior is someone who moves more pastorally. They really have a heart for people to see the sick healed, to see, you know, relationships restored. And so those are the things that are on their heart to pray for. They get the prayer requests. They're on the prayer chain and they move powerfully in that way. But
correct.
The prophetic intercessor, they're like hearing what is God speaking. And sometimes it's beyond the walls of the church. Sometimes it is just for the church,
for our
but it's
city,
like regionally or exactly.
Region.
And they're hearing a now word from God. They're getting direction from God and then they're praying into that. So that's a little bit of a difference. We also see like prophetic worship teams, and that differs from a song leader. You know, you go to some churches and you see the song leaders. They're getting up there and they're leading the congregation in song, but there's no prophetic flow. Nothing's happening in that way. So to be able to release your worship team in a prophetic flow is can be really powerful and engaging.
And I love the trainings that you have, that we have available. So if you're interested in that, get a hold of us for sure.
Yeah, we do like some, I've done some seminars, teaching seminars for worship teams, and I've got one coming up a little bit later this year. So definitely you have to train, you have to teach in these things.
And then you have your prophetic teams. That's people that are prophetic. They could be underneath a prophet. They could be highly prophetic people. And you release the mature ones. You release them during your altar services, maybe, and to help you. They exhort. There's this designated ministry that's taking place with these teams. They're able to activate and minister to the needs of the people in a church setting.
And the reason why you could have a team, you know, you might be thinking, well, why can't, if I've got the gift of prophecy, I don't need to be on a team. I can just prophesy in church. And that is true. That is true. The benefit and beauty of a team is there's often training and greater accountability that comes with that, as well as like the growth that comes when people work together and come together in a common cause. So there's a lot of benefits to having a prophetic team versus just a bunch of lone rangers throughout the congregation.
Yeah, it's not look at me, look at Christ. So let's close with this here. We're talking about this DNA, and maybe you're very highly prophetic. And just because you're a highly prophetic person does not mean that you're necessarily called to be a prophet.
You may be, but maybe not.
Every person who prophesies is not necessarily a prophet, but every prophet prophesies. If they don't prophesy, I would begin to wonder about that. And we've come across people who call themselves their emerging prophets or whatever. But they never prophesy. They do all everything else.
Right.
Right? And you just begin to wonder what's going on there.
Don't gravitate towards something because it seems more spiritual or more to be desired. Because remember, there's a great responsibility that comes, a weight of responsibility and accountability to God and to the people that you're ministering to. So don't try to push yourself into something that you're not, because it's going to come back to bite you.
And your words, when you're highly prophetic, your words should be along the lines of encouragement, confirmation, edification, which means building up. It should be in that realm there. Sometimes, and this is not a teaching for that, but sometimes we can overstep our bounds and we get into stuff that we shouldn't be getting into, and it messes up other people's lives. So always be accountable and responsible with your gifts. Again, we are just introducing this, the prophetic in this, and we will talk about these things and how they interact with other fivefold influences later on in future podcasts. And we want to thank you for joining in with us today. We ask that you would please subscribe if you haven't already, or share it. One of the easiest way in a digital age to share the gospel is put this on your social media platforms, whatever may that be, so that others can hear it and access it.
God bless.